Now, that's part of the bit, is you got to pretend like it's the very first time anyone's ever heard it ever.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta let people in on it.
Guys, I don't know if you've... There's this band out of England. They're called Led Zeppelin, and it's going to take a minute. You just got to find the right song, but they're going to blow your mind.
Is Jameis Winston just a big hipster?
I don't know.
Is that all that is? This is what this is, right? Isn't this the definition of being a hipster?
I kind of think that Jameis is kind of like a Rorschach test.
Oh, yeah?
Like, okay. I think he's just kind of throwing things out there, and you're going to see what you're going to see out of Jameis. Is that fair?
Did you hear the pregame speech that he had? He's like, do it for the names on the back of the jersey and the decal on the helmets. And then he stopped himself and was like, Browns don't have decal on the helmets, yep. But you know what I mean.
No,
get after it.
So he's like, every time in any sporting situation, or like even with my kids, where I'm like trying to like, all right, we don't want to clean up the house so grandmas can come over, and I'm like, guys, you get one chance in life. You get one chance in life
one
to
opportunity.
Prove who you are as kids. And if you love your grandparents, like, it's just, you just start riffing, and even if it doesn't make sense. If the context, if it sounds like it makes sense contextually, you hit it on the head every time.
Okay, I just remembered something. Do you remember when Baker Mayfield first said, I move in silence like the G in lasagna, and then all of a sudden everyone was like, oh, Baker, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
And like, he got a lot of love for it, and Baker didn't get much love in those post-game press conferences. It was a lot of times people being like, why are you dressing like one of the robbers from Home Alone? And then, anyway, so he loved it, though. And he was like, oh, people got my musical reference. And then he started dropping in musical references in every post-game show. Is that what's going to happen here? Is Jameis just going to start, forget Eminem, like, next week's going to be Dr. Dre, and he's just going to keep working down the Rolodex?
No, you want to know why? He does not think that far ahead.
Okay.
Like,
he's an in-the-moment guy.
Like, he was literally asked...
I'm giving him too much credit
two
here.
Two separate questions by Amanda Baliones. By the way, that sound courtesy of CBS Sports.
Great job CBS. With her name, by the way. But I don't know why that seems like a hard one for me.
It's a lot of sounds in there, okay. And you just have to be confident. That's what I find. But I think that's... Like, I think Jameis is just like, if I say this confidently, no one's going to know. And we all know, but you won, so I can't call you out on it. Right?
Sounds like he should be a sports talk radio host if I just say it. I say it confidently and loudly enough.
I kind of think that's where, like, guys, one time I said on air, I was like, it's not a must win game. It's more like a must not lose game. I literally said that in a very confident manner. And it took Spencer like 30 seconds to be like, wait, roll that one back.
What did that mean?
And I was like, I'm on to the next thing. I'm on to Dr. Dre now. I'm not back on the Eminem days. Do you think he knew what he was doing? Or do you think this is... Like,
no
I
clue.
Just think he's just throwing it out there.
He just threw it out there.
I think he's like improv. Just yes and. His own stuff.
I think we're being truthful about it. I think that he heard somebody at a convention recently say it. And it was stuck in his brain because of that. And he thought, well, it worked for that guy. I'm going to do it for me too.
All right. So while we're on this topic, why do you trust the Browns after one game?
It's not that I trust them. I just saw so many things that were different. And so I feel like that was, whether that was David Njoku, whether that was the receivers. By the way, we had so much doubt about all these receivers. And then yesterday, they all looked like they had a clue. I just don't think it was an accident.
What's this wee stuff, Kimo Sabe? Because
what
I
mean
believe
this wee stuff.
I believe you were
Jonathan
jamming
Homer
me up.
Right now. Come on, get with it.
I believe you were jamming me up last week when I was like, I didn't think they were a quarterback away. But I also didn't think they were like, tear it down to the studs. This whole thing stinks. There's no talent here. I remember a certain someone who,
yeah.
I'm right here, Salton Vinny's.
I played wrongly with the assumption that Deshaun wasn't the entire issue.
Mm-hmm.
That was my problem. And then on Sunday, this is why I have such a breath of fresh air. This is why I feel so good right now, is I can put it all on Deshaun because everyone looked good.
Do you realize
it
that?
It wasn't like just parts of the team looked good. Everyone looked good.
Okay, but what happens if that lasts a week? Because I think that's
too
the
many
danger.
Things fell into place for
no,
that to be like, oh,
no.
It's just going to last a week.
Are you new
offensive
here?
Offensive line finally had a clue. Every wide receiver we'd ever questioned all of a sudden was awesome. Like, everything was going our way. Like, no, there were too many things went right for that to be a flash in the pan and a one-off.
You've been here for a decade, right? You've married in now. You have to know. You can't just say, well, too many things went right. Yes, that's when you should most cynical about it.
I can, because we just watched Joe Flacco do it last year. If we had no evidence of it,
if we had
zero evidence of Stefanski being able to coach other quarterbacks, then maybe I wouldn't be able to have this take. All I have is a mountain of evidence that Stefanski knows what he's doing with other quarterbacks. It's so obvious. what happened here. And sometimes when presented with the obvious, you got to accept it.
I think we're extending the love we had for Joe, who was everything I think Cleveland needed. He was the adult in the room. Sorry to throw that one up there. Oof. He was a guy who was just throwing the ball down the field. I think it is really dangerous to assume that over the course of an extended preview, Jameis can do what Joe did.
Why is it dangerous? He just did it yesterday.
Yeah, that's one game. And here's the thing. If he throws that, if Kyle Hamilton actually didn't have cement mixers for hands, you actually go.
But he does.
The conversation today is totally different.
No, it isn't. And I know the first drive, Nick, the very first drive, the drive wasn't even done. And I was like, this is completely different. So sometimes you don't need a million years worth of seeing it with your own eyeballs to have a change of heart when it comes to this stuff. That's what I love about American Idol. There's judges in like 10 seconds. They're like, you're either Jessica Simpson or you're not. Like, they just know. In, what was it, 5 minutes of watching this team on the offense, we're like, oh, this feels different. Ross Tucker kept talking about it. He's like, this feels way different. And everyone was agreeing.
Yes, because the stakes were so low. There were no expectations. It is so easy to clear a bar that is a foot off the ground.
Yeah, but we have to go back and recognize that the bar was so low, and we had to actually understand how low it was.
Yes, and now they have to do it twice in a row, which they haven't done since last year. And honestly, they haven't done it since probably the Jets game and the game before it last year. Because after that was Cincinnati, and after that was Houston. So I so desperately want this to be the thing. I so desperately want 5 more wins to happen here. I want you to be right. But trust is not earned overnight. And just because it feels better doesn't mean in the end it inevitably is, because Jameis is, listen, if Joe Flacco, if he's a roller coaster like the Mean Streak,
yeah,
Jameis is going to be the Millennium Falcon. Or Millennium Force, sorry, different thing. But he is like the peaks.
Yeah, I'd be on Millennium Falcon, if I'm being honest.
The peaks are high, the lows are lower.
Yes.
And so I think there is much more. I'm going to use this term because smart people use it, and now radio guys want to use it, so we sound smart too. There's going to be a lot more variance with Jameis than there is with Joe. With Joe, you could say he's tapped out at 2 interceptions. With Jameis, there's no tapping out.
I don't know. Joe felt very Leroy Jenkins.
I think that is a revisionist take. I think Jameis will throw 6 interceptions in a game if you let him.
6?
You don't think he can do it?
I'm not going to challenge him.
I'm just saying.
I'm not trying to, hey, prove me wrong.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of really good vibes for a guy 6? Who I don't even know he's going to be the starting quarterback after the bye. I still don't, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be realistic.
Well, that's because you think he might be traded, right? That's all that is.
I think maybe they could go back to DTR if he has a really bad game.
I don't know how you go back to DTR at this point.
If he has the 4-pick game, there's a certain amount of acceptable turnovers when you're also making explosive plays. But if those explosive plays come back down to earth in any way, shape, or form, and now all of a sudden you're doubling them up with more than 2 interceptions, I think is a sweet spot. I think you did this with Joe. Even with 2 interceptions, I think you can overcome it. But man, you start to get 3 interceptions or 2 interceptions and a fumble, it's going to get real humble real quick with Jameis. And all of a sudden, the Eminem references are going to be a little bit for the birds.
But they never hit when you're not playing well and you're losing games. They just don't hit. That's how that works. We hadn't seen Deshaun throw a 300-yard game. The team hadn't scored 20 points in a game yet. I mean, it was just... it was night and day, Nick. Night and day.
But how long is the bar going to be better than Deshaun? Because I think that's the trick.
For this season, I think that's all the bar really is.
It changes so quick. It really does. Like,
I don't think it changed much last year for Joe, and I don't think it changes much this year for Jameis.
If I had said, that's because Joe kept delivering at a specific output until he didn't. Like, it's going to take a bad game to get real sober real quick here with Jameis. And again, I think it's so easy today to be like, the sun is shining, we don't have to do... because yes, that yesterday should be about, not a shot in hell, Deshaun's ever coming back. Yesterday should be about, see how carefree we can be when we don't have a $230 million albatross of a contract and trade hanging around our neck? 100%. But the you're better than Deshaun thing, or the offense looks more fun... I think it lasts for 9 more games.
Well, it wasn't just better than Deshaun. It was leaps and bounds better than Deshaun.
Well, yes. But again, at some point, you'll start grading Jameis against himself. That'll happen this year if he keeps starting. It might even happen this weekend, depending on how things look against the Chargers.
I don't know. We kept waiting for the wheels to fall off the bus with Joe, and it kind of did in that playoff game. And then we just kind of were like, it was fine, because he was exactly what we need in that moment. And I think with Jameis, I think he's going to be exactly what we need in this moment. I think that's just how people are going to look at it. He's not the long-term quarterback. Nobody, I don't think anybody thinks he's the long-term quarterback. He's just getting us out of hell right now.
I think people are going to start to position him as the bridge quarterback. And that is a bridge that I don't know it goes where you want it to. Again, I'm not trying to be doomsday here. Today's a good day. It's a Browns
like
victory Monday.
An HBO special.
No, I feel like an interventionalist. Like I feel
the bridge
like
is going nowhere.
JP, sit down. We need to talk about your Browns thoughts here.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I told you yesterday.
Yeah, nobody hated it. Bleep all these touchdowns.
And I'll admit it. Listen, coming to work the past couple weeks, we have a great job. I love what we do. But coming to work the past couple weeks, I was like, man, do I need a vacation or something? Like, what's going on? No, I just didn't want to talk about bad football. And yesterday gave me hope that now for the rest of the season, something matters. Something matters about this team. And all these people that we thought could play football and could coach football, turns out they can. I vastly underestimated how much Deshaun Watson was weighing this team down, Nick.
If you wanted to be all about Deshaun, I'll give it to you. But let's not be surprised if things change rapidly or if there are wild fluctuations between the Browns' best and their worst.
I'm still on a free roll with Jameis.
Anthony and Kent, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, you know, Deshaun was the problem, but let's not kid ourselves. Jameis is, remember, Mr. 30-30? He's that guy. He would have had a couple yesterday if people, like you said, didn't have concrete hands. If the Ravens would have caught a few balls. We're having a different conversation today. It's funner to watch this team as it was last week, for sure. But, you know, last year Flacco came in, and he was kind of comparable. He's a gunslinger and made a few mistakes, but the defense was exponentially better last year, and they bailed him out of a few games, gave him some more opportunities. This defense is not that defense for some reason this year. Miles never got home yesterday, really, for whatever reason. But the Ravens, they lost that game yesterday. The Browns didn't win it, but it will be a little funner. But make no mistake, you know, Jameis is going to throw an average 2 interceptions a game, and that's just how it is.
I appreciate you, Anthony. I'm trying to be realistic because I know playoffs are going to happen. So I'd like to enjoy the season as much as I can. I think Jameis will be fun. As long as he's in there, it's going to be hold on to your hat, and we're going to live moment to moment, and that is so much more fun than the just inertia sucking the life out of you as you are just like brought to the floor and brought to your knees because every play had to mean something with Deshaun.
Well, yeah.
But I don't think it has to be more than that until Jameis and the Browns prove that it is.
Well, I think last week we were talking about, and I think you made the point about how you wanted to use these next weeks as an evaluation. And I didn't think you'd have a fair evaluation. I just didn't think you would. I didn't know that Jameis was going to offer you that. At a minimum, you at least now get a fair evaluation of everyone at play here. The wide receivers, down to the running backs, down to everything.
216-474-0092. So let's just put it all out there. Was that, gosh, I hate using the phrase one game because there's such a connotation to it, but was that fun, but just one game? Or did the Browns come back, just get started? Lewis, Jim, you guys stick there. We'll come back on 92.3 The Fan.